Amen. Would you take your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we continue our study of the book of 1 Peter. Peter, you remember, wrote this book to encourage and to instruct Christians on how to live for God in a hostile environment. He begins his letter by reminding them of their great salvation. And it's our salvation, it's in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we find joy in life. Amen? Amen? I mean, I'll tell you, I watch the news, I find no joy. I look around me and what's going on in the world, I find no joy. But in my relationship with Jesus Christ, I find joy in that relationship. In our salvation, we rejoice even things in the world are a mess. And in Christ, we rejoice with great joy, inexpressible and full of glory. As Christians, Peter reminds us that we're called to live holy lives in an unholy world. To do this, we need the Word of God. We need the Bible. And you remember that the Bible is our lifeline, which enables us to live for God in this world. He also points Peter to the fact that it is essential to be a part of and an active part in the church. And he talks about the church in chapter 2 and how important the church is. In chapter 2, verse 11, he reminds them again that we are, in my version, it says we are aliens and strangers. The King James Version says we are strangers and pilgrims. He reminds us that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And he goes on to talk about citizenship. And we know from the Apostle Paul that he says our citizenship is in heaven above. But it's like we hold dual citizenship as Christians. We're primarily citizens of heaven, but we all hold citizenship down here to some country. Most of us are United States citizens. Is that true? We're citizens of heaven, but we're also United States citizens. How are citizens of heaven supposed to live out their citizenship on earth? That's a good question. That's a relevant question. How's a Christian to live for God, live out our earthly citizenship, when the government and rulers in that government are evil and ungodly? That was the case when Peter wrote this epistle. That was something that these Christians in the first century were struggling with. How are we as citizens of heaven, how are we to live out that citizenship down here on earth? And I'll tell you, folks, the more and more I talk to people, that's something that Christians are struggling with today. How am I to live out my Christianity and my heavenly citizenship down here in this world, in the United States today? If someone hasn't noticed, it seems to be more and more things are getting worse and worse. More evil and more evil. How are we to live in citizens in this world? And I think in the minds of those whom Peter wrote to, that was on their minds. And how are we to, as citizens of heaven, God's people, to live out our citizenship today? And I think Peter's answer to that is, citizens of heaven should be the best citizens on earth. And he writes about that. And take your Bible and let's look this morning at verses chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And why don't we just stretch our legs? Let's honor God's word and stand up. as I read. And look what he says about this. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Lord, we come to this very relevant portion of the Word of God. And Lord, many of us have been struggling with this, of how we are to live out our heavenly citizenship, our Christianity in this world, and as citizens even of the United States of America. And Lord, I pray today that you would open our hearts and open our eyes and help us to understand what you would have us to understand. Speak to us, Lord, and then help us to go from this place and live it out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 5 points on being a good citizen. What does that mean, being a good citizen? Point number one, the command concerning being a good citizen. Verse 13, Peter writes, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him. The command is for submission. Submission. Now that word submission, it was a military term. It meant to order yourself under, or place oneself under, placing oneself under delegated authority, a military term. I learned that, a little bit of what submission is, when I was drafted back in 1972. And I went into the military. And there were drill sergeants that were over me in authority. These guys were not nice. They were nasty. I was called more names. Maggot, I won't mention other ones. But, I mean, they were not very nice. They were, many of them, I don't suppose, were too educated. At least they didn't appear to be very educated. Now, I just graduated from Penn State University with a mechanical engineering degree, and here's this guy over me that can't even speak proper English. But guess what? Yeah, he's above me. I've got to what? Submit. Or I will find myself doing push-up after push-up after push-up after duty after detail after KP after whatever. And God taught me a little bit of what submission is. Submission is placing yourself under the delegated authority of another. And that's what Peter says here that we are to do. He says, submit yourself to every human institution. King James, every ordinance of man. Now let me remind us that there are three divine institutions in the scriptures. There is the family, there is government, and there is the church. And if you look in scripture, in every one of those divine institutions, there is taught the concept of submission. Every one of them, there's submission to be practiced. But here, I thought it was interesting. He didn't say submit to every divine institution. He said to every human institution. And I think he put it that way, and he defines what that human institution was. He as government authority. He says, whether it's to a king as one in authority, and that day it was an emperor. Today we would say the president, or the Congress, and the Congress, and the Supreme Court. Or to governors as sent by him, and that would be state and local officials. I think what he's saying here is God created the divine institution of government. Government is from God. But the forms of government and how that government is instituted is different. Human institution of that is different. But the command here is clear. The Christian is to submit to the governing authorities which he finds himself under. Again, when Peter wrote this, this is tough stuff. Because the ruler or the government was a dictatorship. And those who governed locally were appointed and sent by the emperor. The common people had no say in those who ruled over them.
That's right.
Now today for us, it's a little different. We have a little bit of a say. We have a little bit of a say. We have some say in who rules over us, but not absolute say. But he's saying here, whether it is a dictatorship like the first century, whether it's a democratic republic, the Christian is to place himself or herself under the delegated authorities of the government rulers. Now he goes on in verse 14b to tell us the purpose of government. Why did God even institute governments? And he did. It says the government is, quote, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. There's a double function that God created government for. It is there to restrain evil, and it's to promote good. Government authorities are there as representatives of God. In fact, Paul says over in Romans 13, they're ministers of God. And they are there to punish evildoers, punish those who commit injustice and crime. And this punishment is not just a deterrent type punishment. This punishment is not just a reformative. You know, in our society, let's reform the criminal. Let's do this so that we can deter crime. This government is there to carry out retributive punishment. Punishment that is deserved. And they are representatives of God in doing that. They are to punish evildoers. And they also, on the other hand, and by the way, that's necessary, right?
Yes.
That's necessary because the innate evil in the human heart.
Yes.
That's why God instituted government. Because man is depraved. If there was no government, this world would be chaos. It would be chaos. It would be mass. We probably wouldn't even exist today. Because man would have probably annihilated himself a long time ago. But also, government is not only to punish evildoers, but to promote good and righteous behavior. One commentator put it this way. He wrote, civil government is responsible not only for the security of its citizens, but should also foster their moral well-being. It does so by giving appropriate recognition on occasion to those individuals who habitually do that which is good and beneficial. In other words, if somebody does something good that benefits mankind, they should be recognized by the government.
Amen.
And be applauded by the government. That's what government's supposed to do. Government is to punish evil and to promote good. That's what God's intent. And our responsibility is to submit to the governing authorities. I hear somebody say, but what if the government's not doing that? What if they're doing just the opposite? What if they're promoting evil and punishing good? What about that, Pastor? Well, we'll get to that. But for now, let's just say our job, the command, and this is a command, submit to the governing authorities. That's what a good citizen does. Someone says, well, why? Why? And this is number two on your outline. The reasons for being a good citizen. There's three of them that he mentions here. Three reasons. Number one, verse 13, we are to do it for the Lord's sake. This is for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. As Christians, we recognize government is divinely ordained by God. Amen. And to submit to governing authorities is to submit to God. Amen. It's awful silent out there. But it is. It's to submit to God. Our primary submission is to the Lord, and for the Lord's sake, we submit to the authorities over us. We submit to them and to the laws of the land in order to commend to others around us Christ as Lord, and not to bring reproach on his name by unruly behavior and rebellious spirit. We submit to governing authorities because we want to be a good testimony for Jesus Christ to those around us. We do it for the Lord's sake. We want to be good citizens for the Lord's sake. Secondly, we do it because such is the will of God. Do you see it there in verse 15? For such is the will of God. How do you know it's the will of God? Because the Bible says it's the will of God. You know, he says, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Paul, and there's a parallel passage to this in Romans chapter 13. Paul, in that passage, writes this. Listen to what he says. He says, every person is to be in subjection to governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Peter and Paul agree on this. They agree that it's God's will that Christians should submit to governing authorities and obey the law. We should be good citizens, obey the authorities, obey the law. Why, Pastor? Because it's the will of God. Yes. It's God's will we do that. And a third reason, not only for the Lord's sake and it's the will of God, we are to do this to silence the critics. Silence the critics. 15b, that by doing right, it's right to obey the law. It's right to obey the law. By doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. You remember last week, hopefully you remember a little bit of the sermon last week. We said that as we live out our Christianity in the world, people are what? They're watching. Non-Christians are like hawks. They are avid spectators of our lives. Guys where you work, they're watching. The people in your neighborhood, they're watching. They're avid spectators. And I'll tell you, many of them are avid spectators because why? Why? Because they want to find something to criticize. They want something to slander. I knew. Yeah, he's a Christian. Do you see what he did? You see how he yelled at his wife over there? Yeah, he's a Christian. They're there to criticize. And they were watching the first century Christians. And what Peter says here is live, be a good citizen, because when you do that, you silence them. I love the word. The word there, that's a good word. It means to muzzle. It's like to muzzle a ferocious dog, you know? It's the same word that was used. You remember when the Sadducees attacked Jesus and they were attacking him about the resurrection, and Jesus just, he just blew them out of the water and proved that there is resurrection. He said, you don't even know the scriptures. Don't you read the Bible? And he points back to the Torah, the first five books, which the Sadducees, they actually accepted those books. And he says, listen, let me give you a lesson. And he destroys their argument and proves the resurrection. And it says, and the Sadducees were silenced. He muzzled them. Well, folks, when we live the way we're supposed to, and this is different. When we live as good citizens, when we submit to authorities, when we obey the law, we muzzle the critic. You know, one thing back in the day when Peter wrote this, they were criticizing Christians. One thing they said, they were unpatriotic. They were not good citizens because they would not take the loyalty oath to the emperor. They wouldn't bow down to the image of the empire. They're unpatriotic. They're bad citizens. He said, listen, live in such a way that you muzzle them. And I'll tell you what, that's what he says to us today. When we live our lives above reproach, when we show ourselves to be good citizens, we muzzle the critics. We silence the ignorance of foolish men. Why should we be good citizens? Why should we submit and obey the law? I'll tell you what, because for the Lord's sake. Do it for testimony's sake. Do it because it's God's will. It's God's will, and God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Yes.
Amen. I'll say the amen. Good preaching, Pastor Les. Amen. It is, and we silence the critic. Well, we should obey. Well, And what kind of behavior is going to silence them? That's point number three. The behavior of a good citizen. How does a good citizen behave? Verse 16, three things he says there. First of all, he says, act as free men. Act as free men. Enjoy, you know what? Enjoy your freedom in Christ.
Amen.
In Christ, we are free. We are free. We know the truth and the what? Truth has set us free. We're free. We're free. We're free in Christ. And we're to act as free men. Free. But what is freedom? Freedom is not the right to do what we want. That's bondage. That's absolute bondage. When, well, I'm going to go out and do my thing. That's bondage. Freedom is not the right to do what you want. It is the power to do what you ought. And Christ has freed us from the bondage of sin. He has freed us. He has given us, listen, he's given us his Holy Spirit. And as I depend on the Holy Spirit and you depend on the Holy Spirit and his power, we are free to live righteously and to live holy lives in God. That's what Christ has given to us. He has freed us from the bondage of sin, imparted to us the power. And many of these early Christians, we got to remember this, context-wise, many of these early Christians were slaves.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing what Paul tells the slaves. Over in 1 Corinthians, he says, and listen, did you get saved as a slave? You know what he says after that? Don't worry about it. Are you a slave? Don't worry about it. You know? In Christ, you're the Lord's freedman. Now, if you have an opportunity to get free, that's okay. Go do that. But don't make this a big deal. Live for Christ.
Amen.
Wherever you find yourself. Because I don't care what the government, we're free. No one can take my freedom in Christ. We are free in the Lord. No matter what kind of government you find yourself under, even if it's oppressive, You are free in Christ. Act like it. Act like free men. But secondly, don't abuse your freedom. You see what he says? And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. Covering for evil. That's the exact same advice Paul gave the Galatians in chapter 5. For freedom you've been set free, only don't use your freedom as a cloak for the flesh or a covering for the flesh. We're free in Christ. We're not free to sin.
Right.
We're not free to sin. Not free to disobey the laws of the land. Not free to do our own thing. We're free to obey Jesus.
Amen.
And obey the laws of the land. We are to free. You know what? We're free to be good citizens. I got to tell you a story. J. Vernon McGee. I loved listening to that guy. Didn't you? Remember his voice? That's a joke, by the way. But in his commentary, he tells the story about one day he was driving to church. Now, those of you that get up early Sunday mornings, what's the traffic like on Sunday morning? There ain't none. You know, that's the day you can get out and there's no traffic at all. You know? So he's driving to church early Sunday morning. He comes to the street where his church is located, and there's a red light there. He said, I drove up to that red light, and, you know, I looked all right. There's nobody there. There's nobody there. And it just turned red, and it's a long red light. He says, nobody around. Look. He said, I decided to follow the spirit of the law rather than the law. So he makes a turn at the red light and goes down toward his church, looks up, and here comes the cop. And he stopped him and he said, do you know what about that cop? He was a legalist. And he gave me a ticket. You know? Can you believe that? He said, there's nobody around. Why would I have to do that? But this cop was a legalist. Well, you know what? We're free. But we're not free to break the law.
Right.
We're free to obey the law.
Amen.
You know, we don't use our freedom as a cloak for the flesh, because there's right and there's wrong, and we are free to do what's right. So don't abuse your freedom. You act as freemen. I don't care what kind of government we're under. We're free in Christ.
Amen.
Act like freemen. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve the Lord. See it there?
Yes.
It says, but use it, your freedom, as bond slaves of God.
Yes.
Don't use your freedom to sin. Use it to serve. Use it to serve. That's a good citizen.
Amen.
We're here to serve the Lord. But in serving the Lord, we go out and serve other people. That's a good citizen who's serving others. I mean, I love that in Galatians, again, where Paul says, for freedom he has set you free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another.
Yeah.
Serve. You know what? I am so free that I can come out and wash your feet. I can serve you willingly, put myself under you, and be a servant. I'll tell you, that's free. That's freedom. And we're to use our freedom in Christ to serve the Lord. That's the kind of behavior that is going to lead to good citizenship. When we serve God and we go out into the world, not, you know, serve me. Minister to me. It's about me. When we go out and we start serving others, I tell you, that's the kind of behavior of a good citizen. A good citizen. But you know what? We can obey the law and have the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
That leads us to number four, the attitudes of a good citizen. The attitudes of a good citizen. Is this true? You can obey the law and have a wrong attitude?
Yes.
Oh my. Yes, you can. You can obey it, but have a wrong attitude. So in verse 17, I think he tells us the attitude we are have to have as good citizens. And he says this, first of all, he says, honor all people. Honor all. Honor, have a proper, listen, respect for all people. A proper respect. This can be difficult. I struggle with this. Especially when people don't act honorably. Yes. Do you hear me? It's a struggle. But he doesn't say if they act honorably. He says honor all people. We are to respect all life. We're to respect all life and honor every person. Unborn life in the womb. And people that are senior citizens with Alzheimer's in a nursing home, we're to honor their life. Amen. We're to respect life. We are to, every person is a creation of God, made in his image, made in his likeness, with an eternal soul. Every person, Christ died for them. That means we're to honor them. This means we are to be, listen, pro-life. You can be a good citizen, pro-life. Because life is a gift of God. We're to be pro-life from womb to tomb. Pro-life. Good citizens respect and honor others. Secondly, love the brotherhood. The Bible says to love God and love people, but there's a special love that Christians have for the brotherhood. Amen. Folks, I love that word, brotherhood. Remember I told you in 1st and 2nd Peter, the word church is never mentioned. This is another name for the church. It's the brotherhood. We're a band of brothers. Amen. And sisters. Brethren and sistern. We're a brotherhood. That's the church. Yes. You know what? It says love the brotherhood. We can't live in this world and be all that God wants us to be without the church. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, I can worship God out in the nature. And I don't need the church. I don't like the church. I'll tell you what, we need the church. And I'll tell you what, I think, I didn't plan to say this, but I think one of the signs that somebody's a true Christian is they love the church.
Amen.
They love the brotherhood. If you don't love the church, I think you need to go back and you need to check your salvation. Yes. Now that's hard word. I didn't plan to say that. I don't know why. Maybe the Lord had me say that. I love Christ Church. We love the church. We come together. We encourage one another. We stimulate one another into love and good deeds. We encourage one another. Go out in the world and live for Christ. Live as citizens of heaven here in this world.
Amen.
Be a good citizen. I need to hear that. I need to be encouraged in that. The church is not perfect. And it's kind of vogue today to cut on the church. I love the church. Yes. You love the church. We love one another. We need to have this attitude if we're going to be good citizens. Love the brotherhood. But here, number three is probably the key. Fear God. Fear God. This is the basis of all submission, is fear of the Lord. We reverence him and put him in highest esteem and acknowledge his supreme authority. We fear God. And I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that we've lost the fear of God, even in the churches. And we need to fear the Lord, because if we take God out of the picture, there is no basis for submission.
That's right.
In government, in the home, or in the church. You take God out of the picture, and there's no submission. No submission. We see this in our society today. As we've lost that fear of God, everyone wants to do what's right with their own eyes. We see chaos out on the streets now because of losing the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The fear of God is to depart from evil. The fear of God is to submit to governing authorities and be a good citizen. That's the right attitude.
Amen.
Once you fear God, then you fear, you obey the authorities God has placed over you, and you do it with the right attitude.
Yes.
Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And once you fear God, honor the King.
Amen.
Honor the government authorities that God has placed over you. And I can hear somebody shouting right now inside. I hear it. But Peter didn't know what kind of government authorities we'd have today. He didn't know who's going to be on the ballot this November. If he knew that, he wouldn't have written this. I hear you. I feel the same thing. And yet we've got to remember, who was the emperor? Nero. Nero was evil, nefarious. He was insane. He killed his mom. Did you know that? He killed his mother. He killed his first wife. He killed his mentor, Seneca. He killed his second wife. He is the one that had thousands of Christians killed in the Circus Maximus. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, he would dress them up in animal skins and then turn savage dogs on them and have them torn apart piece by piece. He would dress them up in garments that had been soaked in wax, then place them on pools and light his gardens by torching Christians. This is the guy that would have the Apostle Paul killed, cut off his head with a sword. In fact, the very writer, Peter, of this epistle, he would crucify him. And as tradition goes, crucifixion upside down. But he was martyred by Nero. That's who was the emperor.
Amen.
And he still says, submit to the governing authorities. How can you say that, Peter? How could you write that, Paul, over in Romans 13? Because they realized something. They realized that all powers that be are of God. And are ministers of God. And they are to be honored. This is tough, isn't it? This is rough stuff. I mean, we don't have to agree with their politics, their policies, their positions, or their practices. But we're to respect their position.
Amen.
Honor the King. I don't know about you, but that's a tough one for me. I struggle with it, but I think it's the Bible. So what's this all mean? Number five, the application. The application, and I think this is where the rubber meets the road. The application for being a good citizen. What does it mean? I want to share with you, first of all, two things this does not mean. Clarification. It does not mean absolute obedience no matter what. If government commands Christians to do something that is contrary to the express will of God, contrary to his word, we have the right and the responsibility to resist and disobey government and practice civil disobedience. Amen. How do you know that, Pastor? Because we have examples of that in Scripture. Let me just give you a couple. Exodus chapter 1, the midwives, the Hebrew midwives were commanded by the Pharaoh. When a Jewish lady or Hebrew lady has a baby boy, take him, throw him in the river, kill him. The midwives disobeyed Pharaoh. Because, you know why? You know what it says? They fear God. They fear God. They disobeyed Pharaoh, and God blessed them, gave them households. I think of Daniel chapter 2 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Bow down to the image. King, we ain't doing it. We're not bowing down to that image. We have a God who can deliver us out of your hands, but if he does not, let it be known, we're not bowing down. We're not bowing down to an image, because that would be breaking the law of God. And we've got a higher command than you. We're not doing it. You remember what happened? They got thrown into the fiery furnace. But they met Jesus there. Jesus was there. And they met the Lord in the fiery furnace, and God did deliver them. Praise God. But they disobeyed authority. Think of Daniel. They came and said to Daniel, don't pray. You can't pray to anyone except the king. Daniel said, oh, well, forget that. When they opened the window, I'm praying to God. And what happened to him? Lion's den. Lion's den. What happened? God shut the mouth of the lions and delivered Daniel. But he disobeyed. In fact, I think of Peter. Because Peter went out after Pentecost and he's sharing Christ, and they said, you know, stop talking in the name of this Jesus. And what did Peter say? Whether it's right in your eyes or in the sight of God, what we do, you be the judge. But you know what? We can't help speaking about Jesus. We're going to talk, we're going to spread the gospel about Jesus. Amen. And they disobeyed the authorities because they were obeying God. So, it doesn't mean absolute obedience no matter what. In fact, if they come someday and say, Christians aren't allowed to share Christ out in the marketplace, you know what? We disobey. If someday they come and say in the church that pastors or preachers are not, or teachers are not allowed to teach the Word of God because it's a hate book, You can't teach Romans 1. That's hate speech. You're going to come and visit me in jail, aren't you? Please. Because I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. If they come, when we take it down to Summit County, our plans for this building, and they say, well, only one thing you got to change, you got to have transgender bathrooms. Guess what? We're not going to do it. But we might not be able to build the building. So what? We've got to obey God rather than man. And there's a whole lot of other illustrations we could give. But it doesn't mean absolute obedience. There's a time for civil disobedience, but it has to be a direct violation of the Word of God. Second thing it does not mean that we remain silent about sinful activities in the government or sinful policies. We have the right to speak up. We have the right to peaceful protest in this country. And even if we didn't have the right, we have illustrations in Scripture where men of God, people of God, stood up and spoke out against unrighteousness in the government. I think of Elijah when he said to Ahab, you know what? You're in sin. You married that Jezebel, and you are worshiping the Baals, and that's evil. He spoke out against. So did Amos. So did John the Baptist, didn't he? He said to Herod, Herod, you're committing adultery. You have your brother Philip's wife. That's sin. And there's nobody that's lived on earth, Jesus said, as righteous as John the Baptist. See, it doesn't mean we can't stand up. Doesn't mean we just sit back and say, oh, well, you know, we can't do anything. I'll tell you what, we need to speak out against evil. We need to call evil, evil, and good, good, because they're calling it all kinds of stuff. It doesn't mean that we're silenced. We can speak out and with a submissive attitude and be a good citizen. So what does it mean? Here's four things that it does mean. Number one, we should obey the laws of the land. I'm guilty. We should obey the traffic laws. Would you pray for me? I'm driving to Pennsylvania today. We should obey the traffic laws. We should obey building permit laws. We're going to build a building. We should obey building permit laws. Do you know what? I confess. I haven't always done that in my home. Now, all the work that's been done in my home has been done by qualified people who have done it according to code. But I didn't always draw a permit. I was wrong in that. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, it's law. I need to be better at that. We need to obey federal and state and local laws. That's what it means. Secondly, we should pay our taxes. I hear, amen, pastor, yes. Yes, I love that. Good. Preach on. Romans 13, because of this you pay taxes. Render all what is due. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Jesus said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God's. Amen. Peter came to Jesus once and said, said, Jesus, do we pay taxes? Yes. And he said, yeah. He said, well, you know what? The sons of the kingdom, you know, a king has sons. Do king's sons pay taxes? No, not really. And we're the sons of the kingdom, so we really shouldn't have to. But you know what? Yeah, we better pay the taxes. So he said to Peter, go fishing. Go fishing. Ernie, Larry, Tank, Jimmy, he said, go fishing. And he caught the fish and opened up the mouth, and there's a gold coin there. What a great way to pay taxes, huh? Come on, give me an amen. Amen. And, and he said, yeah, we pay taxes. And you know what? We should pay taxes. Shouldn't cheat.
That's right.
Shouldn't cheat on our taxes. We should pay taxes. Number three. Here again, I'm pointing three fingers back at me. We should spend less time complaining about our leaders and more time praying for them.
Amen.
We should be praying for them. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, pray for those who are in authority over you. I told Linda yesterday, I got to, not preaching this message, I got to start praying for the Donald and for Hillary. I got to start praying for them. God save them. Wouldn't that be something? If one of them got saved? Linda said, oh, I have faith. Bless. I have faith, Pastor. No, she didn't say Pastor. Oh, yeah, that much faith. I said, what about the Apostle Paul? I mean, he got saved. Save one of them.
Save them all.
Save all of them. Wouldn't that be something? But we should pray. And then last, we should vote this coming November for the most righteous candidates. Yeah, this is tough. Let me just, J. Vernon McGee again. This is back in 1979 when he said this. But he said this, I think it's apropos for today. He said, I have never voted for a president whom I really wanted. I have always voted against the other candidate. However, regardless of who is president and regardless of his inability, he should be honored because of the office.
Yes.
The office is to be honored.
Yes.
Man, this is tough. But I can say this, we have a higher calling, folks.
Amen.
We are citizens of heaven. And citizens of heaven should make the best citizens down here on earth.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. We do it for the Lord's sake, it's the will of God, and we silence the critics. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, these are a challenging passage of your word, but I pray, God, help me to be a better citizen. Help me not to cut corners. Help me not to, Lord, preach and then not do it. Give us wisdom, Lord, in how to relate to our government today. Because in so many ways, Lord, we know that the government is to restrain evil and to promote good. So many ways, Lord, to us now, we've never had it quite this serious where they're promoting evil and restraining good. Teach us, Lord. Teach us how to live. Teach us how to respond. Lord, may we be different from the world. And may we point people to you, Jesus, because, Lord, you're the ultimate answer. Lord, help us with these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Help us to live for you, Jesus. Amen.